Okay, so we are in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and we also went back and read Luke 20, 45 through 47 for some context. So I want to ask you guys something. You guys gave really good observations. You gave really good summary statements. You guys are really good at that. Hopefully you got something out of that. But I want to ask you a question. How would you feel if you got a gift from your friend and you found out later that it was a re-gift? How would you feel about that? Depends on the gift. Okay. If it was like a brand new iPod, okay, I said almost an iPod, okay? If it was a brand new like iPhone or something like that, you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe not, right? But what if it was like the old, old model, the click iPod? I mean, you can't even sync it anymore to anything. I mean, how would you feel about that? How would you feel if you got a gift from your parents and you opened it up and they were like nasty, ripped, and disgusting hand-me-down jeans? And not the cool jeans you want. Like the jeans that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get made fun of if I wear these. You feeling good about that? Does that really seem like a gift to you? No. Does it? How do you feel for Christmas and you get clothes? Like socks and underwear. Okay, now, see, now that might be a little, I have to venture in because sometimes that's cool now. As a college student, it's cool. You know what my mom gave me one time? She gave me cheese and crackers. But that meant a lot to me. You look at it, you're like, what, seriously? No, I was in the Air Force and I liked snacks and stuff. So it touched me because she was actually listening to what I was talking about and wanted. But, you know, see, the gift has value, right? And have you ever been one of those people to like re-gift something? And you're like, oh, I got to go to somebody's party. And you're like, all right, yeah. Okay, this is good. We'll just repack, you know, and you're like, here you go, right? You ever been one of those guys? I have. And yeah, have you ever been like you sit there and then like the person's open a presents and they're all happy and then it's getting closer and closer to your gift and you're starting to realize, oh man, I should have just bought him a real gift. Oh man, I should have got him something new. They're going to open up and they're gonna like, hey, you got me a tambourine. Oh, wow. And it's kind of old too. Wow. Is that gum on it? You know, it's like, what's going on here, right? Yeah, okay, put that aside. And then you're kind of like embarrassed. You're like, oh wow, why didn't I go out and get a gift, right? But at the time, you're like, eh. You ever been invited to a party and you're like, oh, this is going to be so awesome, and you get there and it's lame. Or you think it's going to be so lame, and you get there and like, dude, why didn't I dress up for this thing, right? Okay, that wasn't as rash. Okay. Yeah, all right. See, gifts have value, don't they? They should have value. And when you're giving a gift, it should, in theory, have some sort of like attachment, some sort of value to where it shows the other person that maybe you care about them, right? Or at least you give them a gift, maybe like a gift card with money. So at least it may deflect from the fact that, oh, gee, you didn't get me a gift that you thought of me, but I'm glad you gave me money. So it's like, okay, cool, I can go out and buy what I want, right? Gifts have value. And sometimes whenever we give gifts, like I stated in some of our examples, sometimes when we give gifts, we're not so mindful of how we give them, are we? See, what Jesus is talking about in this passage, when he notices this widow and he notices the rich, he's not bagging on rich people and he's not elevating poor people. So you shouldn't get out of this, oh, darn, I shouldn't be a rich person. Jesus likes poor people. Maybe I should just be poor. Maybe I should give away all my riches and all my possessions and I should just be poor. It's not what he's saying at all. And some of you actually were really, really close, if not nailed, what Jesus is talking about, okay? It's amazing, huh, when we just read the passage, how sometimes just the meaning just pops right out. We don't have to look at a concordance. Lily, you had a statement?
Yeah, I was just going to say that this is one that probably most of us have heard before, so it was easier than say one that, like, I've never heard of this before, ever.
Right.
It was like, this was one that you do in Sunday school, so.
Exactly. But sometimes truths, it's not always about like these breakthrough truths. Like, dude, I walked away and he like imparted so much knowledge that the preacher was just so awesome and I learned so much. Sometimes it's just those reminders like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor, but I'm not really doing it. And I needed to be reminded that I'm not really doing it. So biblical truth is there to help us. It's there to like correct us, admonish us. And that's not to lay a heavy guilt trip and say, oh, you suck, loser, get out of here. God's never about that, is he? God's always, Christianity, this thing that Jesus did on the cross for us, is always a present religion. It's always about the now. It's not what you did 10 years ago. It's not what you did yesterday. It's what you're going to do right now. When you realize, oh, my relationship with God has been suffering. I haven't read the Bible. God's like, so what's stopping you? I haven't prayed in a long time. It's been forever since I talked to God. God's like, so what's stopping you? It's what you do right now that you're judged on. When Joshua, he's giving a charge at the end of Joshua. He's given this charge. They're about ready to go into the land and take possession, and they already chopped it up and parceled it out. He says, hey, choose on this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So choose right now. It doesn't matter what you did on the way. It doesn't matter for the 40 years wandering. We're here, and what are you going to do right now? That's what Christianity is about. That is the miracle of Jesus, because he can make all things new and right all wrongs. And whenever you go, you look like, yeah, I messed up. Yeah, you know, I was lame to my friends and stuff like that. And you get right with God, he starts to change your heart to where you're like, I should probably apologize. You start to make things right naturally when you yield to God. You start to take on his nature, for his nature is loving and caring. And that's what it's mainly about, isn't it? At the end of chapter 20, we see that Jesus had just passed judgment on what we're calling the religious elders. Okay, religious elders. These are people who had been charged with shepherding the children of Israel. Okay, shepherding Israelis. Teaching them God's law, helping them out, showing them right from wrong by God's perspective, and also modeling that. But instead of doing that, instead of being in the Word and showing them the Word and showing the character of God, which they're capable of doing, we're all capable of white-knuckling it and being a good person. It's much, much harder to change your heart and change your attitude. Have your parents ever told you that? Change your attitude, young man. You better just get it together, young lady. And you're like, okay. Have you ever tried to do that? You're like, okay. I'm just going to turn it off now. My bad attitude. I'm now happy. Thanks for telling me, Mom and Dad. I'm so much better now, right? Just easy to do, isn't it? That's where we need the help. That's the God part. It's going to change my attitude and my focus. Without that, you can white knuckle and be good and just grin and bear it. Sure, Mom, Dad, cool. That's easy to do in comparison of changing your attitude. For me, all I have to do is drink coffee, and then I'm a totally different person. So Jesus had just passed judgment on these religious elders, and they chose, instead of doing their job, instead of becoming shepherds of Israel, instead of becoming teachers to these people, teaching them the ways of the Lord, to walking in the ways of the Lord and enjoying all of the privileges of the peace and the joy and all the cool stuff that comes of following God, they were like, no, I got an idea. How about we get in good with the people? How about we lord it over them? How about we wear rank badges to come in? They go, like, oh no, a man of God's coming. Okay, yeah, stop everything. Give him the best seat in the house. Give him the choice sacrifices. Talk high of him. He gathers a following of students and he says, Josh, look at my students. They're more than your students. And he's like, what? Yeah, but my students are smarter. And I'm like, yeah, and what? The dictionary? Mine's smarter. And like, you know, there's this comparison going on. And that's what they like to do in verses 45 through 47. He says, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. It's all about them. It's all about the benefits. When we were talking about chapter 20, when we were doing the systematic study, remember Riley was here. We said, look, imagine Riley, and we're like the San Diego Padres baseball team, and there's like the Dodgers or something, and they're both competing to get Riley on their team. And, you know, they're bidding. They say, I'll give you $1 million. Well, I'll give you $2 million. I'll give you $1 million and a Ferrari. And they're competing. And he finally chooses a team. And they give him the money. And he's all there. And it comes time to play. And the guy's like, you know, he's been eating a lot. And unlike Riley, right, getting just, ugh. And he's not performing at all. He didn't sleep for a week. You know, he's playing video games at all hours of the night. And he has the money. And he has the Ferrari, and he has the cool hat, and he has all the stuff that comes with that. But one thing he doesn't have, he's not doing, he's not playing the game. And that's what he's getting paid to do. These religious leaders instead tried to focus in on all the cool stuff that they get. And Jesus actually says they're going to have the greater condemnation for that. They think they're on God's team. They think they're doing it right. They think by virtue of their position alone that God is going to bless them. But Jesus is saying they have the reward right now. It's not going to go well for them. They think they are on God's side. They think they are reaping these rewards and benefits, but they are not. And he calls, and what he says is, he actually literally says this to everybody, but just focusing on his disciples. So they actually hear this. That's the context. And then we see in chapter 21, we see Jesus looks up and sees the rich putting gifts into the offering box. Now the offering box, like kind of like what we have in the back there, an offering box is a place for you to give your tithe. So the things that you give, a tithe means a tenth. So you made a killing this year in like selling computers. So you give a tenth of what you receive and you give that to God. Okay, that's a practice in Judaism. You give a tenth. So that's what they're doing. They're giving their tenths. They're giving their tithes. They're giving their offerings. And sometimes if God's really blessed them and you want to say thank you to God, maybe give them a little extra. So you give your tithe, which is required. And then on top of that, you're going to, you know what, I'm going to give God 10 more bucks because I love the guy, right? He blessed me, I'm going to give him 10 bucks. So, you know, they're giving that. So they're doing this. And then Jesus spies. Jesus is awesome because he just looks at people and he knows their heart. He knows their struggles. He knows the things that they're stuck in. He knows their pride. He knows all their sin stuff that they're stuck in. But he also knows just who they are. He remembers the look on the parents' face when those people were born. When they took their first steps, when they made their first day at, you know, at school, all the cool things they did in life and all the bad things, he knows all of that. And he's endeared to all of us like that. So he sees, and Jesus sees them, and he says, okay. And then he sees this widow. And then he sees what she puts in. And just in true Jesus form, he looks and he goes, look, I got to tell you something, guys. Look, these rich people over here, they gave out of their abundance. But this poor widow gave all she had, 2 copper pennies, that if you look mathematically, as already pointed out, she gave 100%, and they gave maybe just 10%. Is he trying to say God wants you to give all of your money? No. But he points out the heart of these two people. He's not condemning the rich, but he's pointing out that, look, you think they're rich and successful, and they're giving all this stuff to God. Wow, I wish I could give that stuff to God. Well, I wish I could be successful like them. Oh, and some people are looking and go like, yeah, they're rich because they're tithing God. And look, God's happy with them. And he's given them more money. And oh, and this poor widow gives everything she has. This poor widow gives that maybe stuff that she has to feed her children. Why on earth would she do that? Doesn't that make no logical sense? And Jesus is not saying, oh, you likewise should give all you have. And you're thinking, I need to eat. Drinking water is good. Living in a house, that's great stuff. He's not saying give away. He's looking, says literally, like you guys nailed it on the head. Look at her heart. She is in complete trust with God. And she is giving because she completely trusts God. So the value on those two gifts, those two offerings to God, is not based monetarily. It's not based mathematically. It's based on purity and sincerity of the heart. It's out of the heart. It's the motivation. So the value of your gift, the value of our gift, whether it's money, whether it's socks, whether it's an iPod, is all based on the heart, on the attitude on which we give. Have you ever received a gift that you opened it and you were blown away? You're like, I don't even deserve this. And you're just like, wow. Like maybe you graduated and you got a new car or something. You're like, what? New car. Have you ever got a gift that you were like blown away and then somebody reminds you of the price? Oh yeah, I just picked that up. Yeah, it cost me $200, but you know what? Taylor's feeling like, oh great, got me a $200 gift. Why'd you have to tell people, right? It kind of, doesn't it cheapen it? Do you feel devalued when something like that happens? See, God, when we give to him, when we give to others, he wants us to be thinking and giving with his attitude. Okay? He doesn't want it to be just a mere business transaction. Let me tell you the difference here. I just jotted down a few. Don't think this is exhaustive. Thinking like, well, I thought of three more. Good for you. That's awesome. You're thinking. That's great. These are three that I came up with just on the fly here, okay? Business transactions. What's the reason for doing a business transaction? One is for profit. You get something out of it. I put money in the bank. I get a, you know, of course, save it. But, you know, you put it in a savings account and you get some interest back. That's good. You invest in a 401k plan. You invest in a retirement plan. You start investing in the stock market. What are you trying to do? Get something back. Either keep what you have, get something back. Business transaction, it's about profit. Number two, you conduct a business transaction to take care of yourself and your own, to take care of you and your own. I'm going to put money in a college account for Mariah so Mariah can go to college because I'm thinking of her, thinking of my own. Okay? Normally, last I checked, I haven't put money in my savings account for Corbin for any reason, even though I love him, right? Because I take care of me and my own. That's what we call a sin nature. It's our basic selfish nature. It doesn't mean we're axe murderers. It doesn't mean we're going out and just wanting to do evil all the time. What it means is that we are selfish people. We think of ourselves first and our own. We take care of us and our own first. And that's proven by history. That's proven by just go outside and drive sometime. Those of us who drive know what I'm talking about. The nicest old lady in the world will cut you off in a heartbeat. And then send you some choice signals if you cut her off. Yep. Right? That's what we call a sin nature. That's all that means. We're selfish. God's nature is not selfish. It's selfless. His plan for a millennia. You guys know what a millennia is? That's thousands of years, not hundreds of years. Millennia has been to redeem people and to take away this broken nature that Adam and Eve gave us because they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. And they got kicked out. It's been God's plan to redeem us for millennia. And he's been intervening throughout history to do just that, with the biggest, ultimate point being Jesus dying on the cross, actually permanently paying your price if you believe in him. That's God's plan of love. That's God's plan whenever he's looking at stuff and you're like, I want this and I want that and this side's this and that guy's wrong and blah, blah, blah. And we're looking, we mainly want to be vindicated. We want God to say, that's right. I'm on Ani's side right here. And if you're not on Ani's side, I'm going to take you down. And Ani's going like, that's right. You want to mess with me? You got to mess with God. That's what we want. We want to be on God's team. Or actually, we want God to be on our team. That's our sin nature. That's our selfish nature. We're that way by birth. So a business transaction, for one, we conduct them for profit. Two, to take care of ourselves and our own. And two, sometimes even to prove religious devotion. Okay? So if I'm writing a fat check, and I'm like, I'm not making a big scene about it either. I'm over here, and Taylor's like, what? And I'm like, see how many zeros I'm putting on that check? Oh, yeah, honey, here, take the tithe check and put it in there. Yeah, it's our normal $1,000. What am I trying to do there? I'm trying to prove I'm religiously, hey, I'm in good with God. So when we give, like it's a business transaction, and we're just trying to prove to God, hey, we're good with you, God. I'm doing all the right things. I'm being blessed. And maybe they're writing a check for $1,000 and they don't have the money. And they have to, you know, rob Peter, pay Paul, and do all this stuff just so they can make it. Right? Kind of like keeping up with the Joneses. Going into massive debt so you can wear all the right clothes and have all the cool things. Is that what God's about? Okay, be on God's team so you can wear rings and you have Mercedes and you have suits. And that's not what he's about. Remember his character? Remember Mother Teresa. So if a gift given using God's character looks like this, you're sharing love with others, not in your circle. You're actually doing something outside of yourself. That is against your nature to do so. You know, philanthropists, have you heard of that term, philanthropist? So people like John Carnegie, he built these libraries everywhere. You know why he built libraries everywhere? Because he was a scumbag business guy who cheated and got super rich, lied, cheated. I don't think he murdered anybody, but gee whiz, not a good guy. So at the end, he was feeling like, you know what? I kind of want to like help people out. I'm kind of feeling guilty here, so I want people to think good of me and my name. I'm going to build libraries everywhere. That's not what we're talking about here. We're actually talking about doing good for somebody because they need it. Widow needs money. You give them money to help them, to help her family. You give it outside of your circle. That's giving in God's character. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is a widow giving. You provide for those in need. You're sharing outside of your circle. You provide for those in need. You actually help people. You're not helping people so you can say, honey, yeah, there's these people, and they were on the side of the road, and they totally didn't have any money, and I totally just popped out all my money. I had my wallet and just totally did that. And honey's like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, did you guys hear about that? No. That's not how God wants you to give. You're still doing the whole business transaction thing. Hey, God, did you hear that? Hey, Taylor, did you hear that? Hey, guys, did you hear what I'm doing? Look at me, 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 me. I'm a good person. I'm making up for something I did bad, or I just want people to look at me, or I want to feel better than everybody else. I want to show off my wealth. Sound familiar? You know people like that? Maybe you're like that. I think we all can be like that to some extent. That's because we all have a sin nature. Okay? That's why sometimes we feel bad. When you're giving in God's character, the final thing that I came up with, so business transaction, you give to profit, you give to take care of yourself and your own, and you give to prove religious devotion. A gift given in God's character is to share love with others not in your circle, provide for those in need, and proof of trust in God. And that's what we see this widow doing. She's trusting in God. This is not a template for how to live your life. I have to give everything that I own to God. All my allowance, got to give it to God. And then you're waiting for the blessing. Guess what? Business transaction. When you're giving in God's character, you're not waiting for a return. I'm going to help. I helped Ani out and helped Lily. And helped all these people out. And now God's going to bless me. Okay, God, I'm waiting for it. Nope. You're still giving of your selfish nature. God wants you to give because it's the right thing to do. Not expecting anything back. Not keeping track. I gave Ani $20. Mariah 15, and okay, here we go. And then you, in your prayers, oh Lord, thank you so much that you bless me so I can give these people money. And thank you for giving back to me. You see, the focus is on you still. When you give like this widow gave, your focus is on God. Your focus is on his character and nature. Your focus is on helping somebody in need. That's it. If you're the type of person who's waiting around for somebody to like drown so you can save them and they can give you $1 million, that's not the kind of character that God is giving you. You can't give and expect to give back. Our giving shows our hearts and whether we're aligned with God or not. See, God is love. God is mercy. God is grace. God is all the things that you think of when you think of super good. And all the things of this world, all the things, the best that we can do in our corrupted nature are all the things that look kind of good. They're kind of helpful. We can't just belittle everything and people, you know, hey, look, the libraries that Carnegie built are pretty cool. But if you're looking at the value of the gift, it's much, much greater to give to somebody in need. It's much, much greater to leave an anonymous check in somebody's, okay, a check. Leave an envelope of cash because the check is like, oh, no, it says Taylor on it. Don't do it, Jack. It's not anonymous, right? You leave an envelope of money in somebody's, oh, they need money, and I don't want any praise, and I'm not trying to get anything out of it, and I'm not watching to see, did they spend it? Oh, they bought alcohol. Oh, no. You just give it, man. And that's what Jesus is praising here in the widow. Not the amount she gave, not in that she gave everything, but that in her heart attitude in giving it. And she's like, I'm going to trust God. I don't know where the next meal is coming from, but I'm just going to trust God. That story. Halloween candy. If you're somebody who goes trick-or-treating, I'm going to tell you, whether you exhibit godly character in giving, this is a good proof. I am somebody who is not necessarily inclined to give of my candy. Now, I'm very inclined to give of all the candy that I do not like, okay? If I get those banana Laffy Taffys and you like them, I'm your best friend. I hate those things. I'm like, banana Laffy, those weird peanut butter things that looks like a peanut. You guys know what I'm talking about? Those peanut thingies, the candy. I'm like, yeah, who wants this? Okay, I'm not giving it to be nice. I'm giving it because I don't want it corroding all my good candy, right? What I used to do with my kids, they used to go trick-or-treating, they used to go to harvest parties, whatever, they got candy. So I have the candy tax. And I would look and I say, you need to give a tenth. Okay, a tenth. So out of every 10 pieces of candy, I want one. And it can't be no candy I don't like. So if you're trying to get rid of all your banana Laffy Taffy, not going to count. So when the kids are really little, they're like into this, okay, we're going to give to Daddy. Oh, cool. Later on, they're like, what you talking about, Willis? It's not happening. You're taking my candy? Yeah, candy tax. Why? Did you buy bags of candy and handed them all out? Gabby's like, why don't you just keep some for yourself? I'm like, I'm teaching you principles of finance. Someday the tax man's going to come for you. Get ready, buckle up. Right? Poor Gabby. Well, she was a smart one. Poor Alex was like, you want more? I'm like, oh, you start to feel bad. I'm like, I said a tenth, not like all you have, right? My son is just so good natured that way. Yeah, he's like the widow, right? Yeah, Gabby's like, But you know what I noticed? They were willing to give me wholeheartedly the candy they didn't like. And sometimes those lined up with what I liked. So then it was a good deal, right? But is this an example of giving like with God's nature? Or is it still like from our own selfish nature? I don't like it, so I don't mind to get rid of it, so I'm going to pay that instead. No, it's still our selfish, right? But my son, my caring son, would go, oh, Papa, you like these. Well, Alex, you like them too. I know, but I know you like them here. And I'm like, oh, you can't do this anymore. My kid, man, he's being nice. I can't rob from him. And Julie's like, you should know better than that, robbing from your children. I'm like, I'm sorry. When we do by nature what is God's nature, God is delighted by that. Not because we're trying to get something back. Not because we're trying to look good for people. You know, look, here's some examples, okay? What we do, what our heart's desire is. Right now and when you get older. You can agree with this or not, but I want you to think about this. Our heart's desire is for power. Power. It's for prestige. It's for influence. It's for control and possessions. Let me give you an example. Power. I have power over people. I can tell people what to do, and they do it. You guys like that, don't you? Go give me some candy. Okay. I have people to do that for me. Prestige. How good do I look? I'm going to do stuff, this think politician here, I'm going to do good, you know, all this stuff to make me look really good, but it doesn't matter how I really am, right? A lot of us, like, you know, we like actors, famous actors, we're like, oh my gosh, I totally love this actor, and because we're basing it on characters they play. For all we know, they could be a total scumbag, or they could be the greatest person in the world. Like, I hear Chris Pratt is a really cool guy. So, huh? See, that's nice, right? And don't you like an actor who's, like, naturally nice, too? It's kind of warms your heart. You're like, oh, I like him. He's just so cool. I like him. And if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, you're like, cool. He likes Seattle, right? All right. Influence. Influence. We want to influence other people. We want to be able to position ourselves so we can actually kind of get people to do what we want to do. We can influence them. And we don't necessarily have to, like, power, but like, I got power. But getting people to do what you want to do, even if they don't know it, is intoxicating. And it pleases us. Because maybe no one else knows, but I know. Right? Those behind-the-scenes guys that you never know of. Control. Control. This is like outright manipulating people. Controlling them. Getting them to do what you want to do. And this is usually whenever they know it. Like blackmailing somebody, getting somebody to do something, and you delight in getting them to do something they don't want to do. You're going to control them. You're going to manipulate them. I don't get you to do that. And you're like the emperor. I'm like, and finally, possessions. That's like the one like that's going to nail all of us, right? We're in it for the stuff. I want the stuff. I want the T-shirt. I want the coffee mug. I want the cool guitar. I want the van. Maybe not the van. The cool car. Okay. I want the mom van. The weird maroon color mom van, right? This is our heart's desire. And this is just our selfishness. And you know what? It's okay if you're like that because you've just joined. When you come to realize that, you've just joined everybody else on this earth. And that's okay. But see, there is hope because Jesus is not like that. And Jesus can actually help you. He can give you purpose. He can give you hope. He says, look, I'm giving you an inheritance that's not going to corrupt. I'm going to give you an inheritance that when you go to cash it in, they're not going to say like, oh, this is a really old check. We don't honor that anymore. And you're like, darn it. It's just, it doesn't, moths cannot get in and do holes. It's like rust cannot, corrode. I said decrode. What the? I was thinking erode and like destroy and corrode and all of that at the same time. We can't like mess it up and stuff. That's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter. There's an inheritance that's so awesome that Jesus did that and that he gives to you. And that's waiting for you at the end of all things. He actually gives you the Holy Spirit that helps you out on this life journey. When everybody else reminds you what a loser you are, he's there to let you know what? You're created in my image. You're not a loser. You may make mistakes, but join the rest of the world, man. We all make mistakes. So when we are giving to people, we need to realize what it's like to get a bum gift. We need to realize what it's like to give a bum gift. Both, on both ends, and what that's like. So we can remember when we give to others, would you really want to do that? Would you really want to receive that gift? That's kind of like a helper for us. How do I know to give like Jesus? Well, would you want to give it? Okay. Maybe that's a good way. So you don't want to be like the candy tax guy, trying to get what he wants out of things, trying to manipulate things. You want to be a giver from the heart, that it doesn't matter what happens, that you give the very best give. You like Thomas's birthday is coming up. I'm making this up. If it is, wow, okay, whoa. Thomas's birthday is coming up, and I'm going to get him a gift, and I'm going to think about Thomas and what he likes and what he doesn't like, if I know him that well, right? And I'm just trying to get it. What do I think he would like? I'm not going to think of what I want and give it to him, and he goes like, oh, wow. Great. Thanks for the computer tool. What does this even do? Oh, it separates computer chips. And he's like, great. Okay. Hey, thanks. Appreciate the gift. You know, I'm not thinking of him. Jesus wants us to think of the person. He wants us to think of God. And when we're giving gifts to God, that's what he wants to think of. God does not need your money, and he doesn't want your money. God wants you to give in the spirit of his character like he is. And that's what delights his heart. And that's when he says, yes. And that's when you think, dude, that was cool. I can't believe I was able to help somebody like that. And I got to go tell people what I shouldn't tell people, because I might cheapen it. Close your eyes, please. I'm not going to get weird. I just want to remove distractions, okay? People are like, what? He's me. Oh, nope, nothing weird going on here. Are you someone who's willing to give to others? I want you to ask yourself, okay? Are you somebody who's willing to give to others? When you do give, if you're a giver, when you do give, do you expect something in return? Are you waiting for that, oh, when my birthday comes around, they're going to remember what I got them and they're going to give me something bigger? Do you give because you want to please God? Do you give and you say, like, you know what? God's going to be happy with me. I really messed up. I really did some bad things I knew I shouldn't do. But if I give to God this big gift, it'll all be better. God will love me then. You know how we answer these questions? Reveal our trust in God. God wants us to give because it is in his nature to do so. He values people and others, not what he can accumulate for himself. And that's what he wants us to model. You can't please God by what you give. You please God in how you give it. This is how he wants us to give. You can only do this when you trust in God. It's by your own nature, you're not going to do this. You'll fall back in one of the other ways, the selfish ways. And that's not a bad thing. God wants you to need him like that. It's like when you see a newborn baby and they need some help, and you just want to help them. Or the puppy who's stuck and you want to help them. Or the kitten that's doing something weird and they got their claws stuck in it and you just want to go and help them. That's how God is to us. I want you to try this week. Stretch yourself. You can do it through Christ. Listen to God. Be more about others than what you can get out of it, than what you yourself receive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much just for your time that you give to us every day. When you look at us and you see us get up in the morning, and you see us maybe read the Bible and maybe don't, and you see us maybe pray and maybe don't, you see what the gifts we give and how we give them. You see all those things and you still love us. You still sent your son to die for us. You still, when we mess up, are there to forgive us and there to help us not do that again. I thank you for the love, mercy, and grace that you give us. I thank you for the hope that is found in you. I know whenever I was a high schooler, when I was a teenager, I was lost. And I know I put all my faith and stock in all of these things, all these bad things, the things that I thought would make me happy, these things that I thought would make you happy. And then I just realized that all I need to do is just surrender to you, to believe what you did, to believe who you are, and just to let you change me into who you want me to be, and who you are. Help us this week to give to others the way you want us to, the way you're moving us to. Help us just to listen to your voice. Help us to give like you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.